Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We have before us a very simple summary of the whole Christian faith in today's gospel, and it centers squarely on the sinner's salvation. Very simply, Jesus saves, and faith saves. Our gospel shows us how. In the first part of the gospel, Jesus explains to his 12 apostles the things that are just about to happen in the days ahead. He took the 12 aside and said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again." Jesus saves. How? By suffering and dying and rising again, according to the Scriptures, according to all that was written about him in the Old Testament. People have all sorts of twisted ideas of who Jesus is. They twist him into some lovey-dovey social savior who just wants everybody to get along and be nice to each other. They disconnect Jesus from the God of the Old Testament, whom they consider to be much less loving, much less kind, more punishing, and less tolerant. People want a Jesus who is constantly doing miracles in their lives, who makes them rich or makes them well, and lets them do whatever they want. They want a Jesus who doesn't judge, and who wouldn't think of sending anyone to hell, or at most, who will only condemn the really bad people of the world over there, which surely doesn't include me or my family or anyone that I care about. Surely we don't deserve condemnation. But that's not Jesus. These make-believe Jesuses are nothing but fictional characters invented by the minds of men who refuse to face the reality of their sin and the truth of Holy Scripture. These make-believe Jesuses cannot save. But the real Jesus, he saves. He is the God of the Old Testament, the six-day creator God, the whole human race except for Noah's family flood-destroying God. He is the God of Israel, the Ten Commandments God, the jealous God who punishes the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate him, but shows love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. He is the eternal Son of God who came into the world as the Son of Man, as he calls himself again today in our gospel, who was foretold throughout the Old Testament scriptures. He is the Son of David, who was born of the Virgin Mary for the express purpose of saving fallen, sinful mankind by doing exactly what he tells his disciples in our gospel he is about to do, by being delivered over to the Gentiles, mocked, insulted, spit upon, scourged, killed, and finally raised from the dead. The fact that he announces this to his disciples before it happens reveals one other thing about Jesus. It shows us his heart. It shows us that he suffered willingly and gladly. It's not warm and fuzzy and lovey-dovey, but it is true love. It is true love that gives up everything, that sacrifices everything in a bloody sacrifice for sinners. It is the true love that you heard the Apostle Paul describe in the love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the epistle for today. The love that doesn't seek the temporary happiness of the one who is loved, but instead their eternal blessedness at no expense being spared. It's the true love that led Jesus to rebuke sin and condemn it, to correct error in those he loved. It's the true love that led Jesus to the cross. This is what it took for Jesus to save. This is all it took for him to pay the penalty for the sin of all mankind and to earn forgiveness and eternal life for every sinner. The love of him who loved us and gave himself for us. This is also why it's good and salutary for us to have a crucifix in our sanctuary where we hear the gospel, to keep that image ever before our eyes of the suffering and death of Christ, because that's where and that's how our salvation was won. But the disciples of Jesus, when they heard him speak directly about these things, it says they understood none of them. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. This is how lost and condemned we sinful human beings are, how hopeless we are on our own. Human reason hears Jesus' words, even the direct specific words explaining all the things that are about to happen, that understands his language but still fails to grasp the love of Christ. To human reason, it's foolishness that one should die for all. Foolishness that the Son of God should suffer at all. Foolishness that our deeds count nothing before God, that only the death of Jesus matters, that only the works of Jesus matter as far as earning anything from God. Human reason thinks that we sinners should earn forgiveness with our own suffering, that we suffer to earn ourselves a place in heaven, or that our sacrifices, our deeds of love and service should help to win us a place in heaven, that the Son of Man's suffering is everything, does everything, that our suffering earns us nothing, and our works either, is beyond our understanding. Even believers in Christ struggle with this, struggle to understand it, which is why we need Jesus to do still more for us than the sacrifice he gave that earned our forgiveness. We need Jesus also to give us his Holy Spirit so that we believe what our flesh would never believe, so that we have faith that we could never come up with on our own. We need his Spirit in the gospel to enlighten us and open our otherwise blind eyes, to work faith in our hearts. Because just as it is true that Jesus saves, so it is true that faith saves. Here is how. We have this next picture in the second part of our gospel of this blind man, this blind beggar, who received his sight from Jesus. There's the poor blind man sitting in darkness, begging for food, begging for alms, and he hears a commotion. He hears a crowd going by in victory, a crowd going by in excitement, and asks what it's about. It's a happy crowd that's following Jesus to Jerusalem, or actually going ahead of him while he follows them. That may be symbolic of what actually went on with the crowd, because they kind of got ahead of Jesus There's the blind man begging for help from Jesus, and none of the people in the procession stop to say, "Oh yes, here's Jesus, here for you." Instead, they tell him to shut up. They tell him to shut up and be quiet as he calls out for mercy from the Son of David, from Jesus, showing that they themselves didn't understand, didn't see, were blind to Jesus' real purpose in going to Jerusalem in the first place. If they had understood that Jesus was going to lay down his life for them and their sins, and also for the blind man and his sins, they wouldn't have lovelessly gone by and told the blind man to be quiet. They would have stopped and brought Jesus to him themselves. They didn't see. They were blind. Well, Jesus' own disciples didn't see. It's all part of God's plan to show us what we need to see, that it's God's Spirit in his Word that only can reveal these things to us, can reveal Jesus as Savior, can awaken in us the faith that clings to him. The blind man called out to Jesus for mercy. Why? Because he had heard the simple report, the simple word about this Jesus, that he was the Son of David, the Messiah, that he had come to save, that he was good and kind and merciful to all who came to him in their need, looking for help. And faith comes by hearing. The Holy Spirit had worked faith in the blind man's hearts through the simple word he had heard about Jesus. Faith that was able to shut out all the crowds quieting. Faith that kept calling out to Jesus for help, knowing that Jesus would. Jesus never ignores the cry of faith. He stopped the procession. He insisted that the blind man be brought to him. He asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well," or "your faith has saved you." See how pleased Jesus is with faith. See how he exalts it and praises it and even gives faith credit for saving the blind man, while not denying that he is the Savior of the blind man either. It's not as if Jesus is over here doing his own saving and there's the blind man with his faith doing its own saving. Faith is how Jesus saves the blind man. By the blind man looking to Jesus for mercy, faith lays hold of Christ. Nothing more, no one else than Jesus alone. Jesus, the Son of David. Jesus, that Son of God who became man to suffer, die, and rise for us. That's it. That's faith. And where Jesus is, there is forgiveness. There is life. There is salvation. The only merit that counts is Jesus. The only righteousness that counts is Jesus. The only suffering and death that count are the suffering and death of Jesus. Faith lays hold of Jesus. And so faith saves the one who is lost. Faith makes alive the one who was dead. Faith justifies the one who was condemned. Everything else that people call faith, you got to have faith, is make-believe faith. Just like the make-believe Jesus says that people invent for themselves. Faith in humanity doesn't save. Faith in some idea that everything will be all right doesn't save. Faith in a made-up God or a made-up heaven doesn't save. Faith in yourself doesn't save. Only the faith that lays hold of Jesus Christ, true God, true man, who suffered and died and rose again for all. Only that faith saves. And you know where that faith comes from. We already talked about it. Not from yourself. It is a gift of God. You know where faith comes from. Only by the word of Christ. The word of Christ that is preached to you. The word of Christ that is applied to you with water and bread and wine. Here in the word, Jesus is the same Jesus who journeyed to Jerusalem to suffer and die and rise again. His love and his mercy are proclaimed to you again today, that your eyes may be opened, that you may look to him for salvation, that you may believe in him, not only today, but also tomorrow, and in the midst of sickness, and in the midst of health, and as you age, and as death draws near. That Jesus Christ and him crucified should be the only image before your eyes, with faith only in Jesus only. This is how you have been saved, and this is how you will be kept safe for all eternity. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.